calling this message Mary, Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the story of Mary and Elizabeth, and of course it's Christmas, so these kind of stories are appropriate, right? The stories around the birth of Jesus and all that. And there's this incredible story. I've always loved this story of Mary and Elizabeth. But as I was thinking about this, I realized there's a third character in this story. And that character is the Holy Spirit. And he is all over this story. And if we don't acknowledge it, we miss the whole point of this story. And so what I want to do is I just want to read this section and really just want to tell the story and then share a few thoughts. That sound okay? I don't have anything particularly clever to say other than just to acknowledge some of the stuff that God says, which is kind of probably what we ought to do more of. Sometimes we get lost in our attempts to be clever. And God's just going, you know, if you just read my word, it'd probably be enough. So let's read his word. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word has the power to transform, to heal, to save, and to do everything that we need and more, God. And so I just pray that as we work through your word this morning, as we look at what you've said, and as we just ponder this story, God, I pray that the power of it would just resonate through this place, God. And I pray each one of us would be filled again with your Spirit, who's really the main character of this story, Lord God, and that we would just come into a closer relationship with you than we've ever known before. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a lot to talk about in this story. First thing I kind of notice is the angel Gabriel is sent from God, it says. Gabriel is only one of two angels ever named in the Bible. It's interesting, right? Michael and Gabriel are the only ones who ever are given a name. The rest are just anonymous. I'm sure they all have names, but we're never told. But the thing that really grabs me first in this story is how he greets Mary. He says, "Greetings," or "Hail, favored one. The Lord is with you." Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. And I love that it says Mary's response is that she's troubled. Some translations say perplexed or confused. And she was pondering, what do you mean? Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. I mean, she's probably going, yeah, I love God. I guess I know God is with me, and I think I know that God loves me. But she's astonished that the angel would greet her so highly. Greetings, O favored one. Another way you could say it is a graced one, or one upon whom the Lord looks favorably. A really simple way to put it is, he likes you. But can you imagine how powerful that would be for an angel to appear in your room and go, you know, God likes you. But that's essentially what he says to Mary. And so it's kind of not surprising that she's like, say what? Because we can talk about that. We can read the scriptures that talk about how God feels about us, but when it's really pressed home, most of us struggle to really believe it, that God likes you. We've done this whole thing. I'm sure you've heard it. You know, I gotta love you, but I don't have to like you. First of all, I beg to differ. I do actually think Scripture commands us to kind of like each other. Some of you are going, come on, Pastor Jeff. The love thing was hard enough. This like thing, that's too much. But, you know, it uses nice biblical language, like Paul one time says, be kindly affectioned toward one another. That means have nice feelings toward one another. Like each other. But that's how he greets Mary. He says, oh, highly favored one, the Lord likes you. And then he says, the Lord is with you. Second thing that really grabs me is he says, you know, you're going to conceive in your womb and you're going to bear a son and you're going to call his name Jesus. And he goes on to briefly describe what this child will be. And it is one of the most glorious, exalted, majestic descriptions of Jesus. Can we just go back and read it real quick? This is starting in verse 32. This is what he says. You'll call his name Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He will be great. It's the first statement. Has anyone else found that to be true about Jesus? He is great, isn't he? He is amazing. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. I also noticed, just as an interesting fact, that the angel tends to refer to God as the Most High in this passage. He doesn't call him God, he calls him the Most High. I don't know exactly what to do with that, but it's interesting. It seems to be his preferred way to speak of God, and I kind of like that. Maybe I ought to start going around. Have you heard of the Most High? You know the Most High loves you? You know the Most High has a great... It has a different ring to it, doesn't it? So it's kind of not surprising that an angel who stands in the presence of the Most High would come and go, you guys don't have any clue how great and powerful he is. It says the Lord's going to give him David's throne. He'll rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He's saying in short, Mary, just in case you weren't clear what was going on here, he's the Messiah. He's the one who's been promised from ages, who is going to come, and he was going to save Israel. So this is pretty powerful. And Mary asks the most obvious question of all. How is this going to happen? I've never known a man, and you're saying I'm going to have a baby, and, you know, I kind of know how this works, and there's a missing component here, Gabriel. But, you know, as I began to ponder this, I realized that often the promises of God seem impossible, and we're left asking, how? How are you going to do this, God? How is this going to happen? And we list off all the missing components. Well, God says, I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, but God, I just lost my job. How are you going to make this work? Anyone been there? We could come up with a million different scenarios where it just seems impossible and you're seeing all the gaps and how it's going to get from here to there. You hear his word, and you believe it, but you're just going, how? The short answer that the angel gives is the Holy Spirit. That's how. He gives a little more detail, and we're going to talk about that. But the short answer is the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand the short answer to your how is the Holy Spirit. He's not limited by time or distance or circumstance. He kind of is able to get around and do some stuff. And that's a silly way of putting it. He's all powerful. And our struggles to understand how are really not an obstacle. But the question was fair, right, for Mary? That's a fair question. How is this going to happen? And Gabriel, the angel, his answer was, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You know, there's an interesting, he kind of makes two statements, and they both mean the same thing, but they're phrased differently. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, power of the Most High shall overshadow you. This, by the way, is classic Hebrew poetry. And it made me wonder, it's interesting that the angel comes and he's speaking in poetic terms. But it grabs your attention. You know, if an angel appeared to you and he was rhyming everything, you'd go, this is different. But you'd remember it. But his point, he's just saying the same thing twice. He's clarifying, he's strengthening this idea that the Holy Spirit, Mary, he's saying, Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to move upon you. And the result will be life where there was no life. New creation life in your womb. Because of how this will come to pass, he said, because the Holy Spirit is going to do this in you, that child is going to be called holy. The Son of God. You know, this is an interesting point. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I'm kind of a theology nerd, so you're just going to have to go along the ride with me. But it's an interesting point that the incarnation, anyone heard that term? It's a big theology term. It just means that God became man, right? Literally to be put in flesh. But it's an interesting point that the incarnation did not occur at the time of Jesus' birth, but at the time of his conception. Because it was at the moment that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary that life began to form in her womb, that the Father began to knit together the body of Jesus, just like he did for me, just like he did for you. Isn't that what the word says? He knit me together in my mother's womb. And he began to knit together the body of Jesus, and they didn't have ultrasounds back then, but his heart was beating at about 6 weeks. and his little fingers and toes would have been visible had they had the technology to see it. And this is one of the many reasons why we believe that life begins at conception and not after they're born. And not to go down this rabbit trail, but that's why we don't believe in abortion. Because that's a human life. From the moment of conception. We're not waiting until they're born to call that human life. Or else you will say the Son of God wasn't in Mary's womb. The incarnation happened at the moment of conception. The birth of Jesus was simply the manifestation of what was already done. And that'll preach. And that way, in a way, every pregnancy illustrates this beautiful principle that sometimes God does stuff in your life and it's real and it's true, but you don't necessarily see the manifestation of it immediately. Anyone had that in their life? You knew God did it. You knew it was done, but there was some waiting. In this case, about 9 months. And the waiting gets more and more intense as that time goes on, and it gets more and more difficult. And every woman who's had a child in here knows toward the end, you're just like, just get here already. I only know that through what my wife has said. Thanks, Mom. But we need to understand that this is often how God works, is that there's a moment where he deposits something. His Holy Spirit does a work. Amen? He does a work. It's real. It's a thing. It's done. And then there's this period where you go, okay, God, I know you did that. What's going on? I don't see it. You know, I was, Roberto, can I have you come up? Can you grab the mic? Yeah, amen. Give him a hand. I want him to share something pretty powerful happened to Roberto in the last couple of weeks, and I just want him to share briefly what went down.
Buenos dias.
right up
so,
your mouth.
Last week, I had a great, amazing experience, a spiritual experience, when Mrs. Kia Walker was reading about Luke 10, about Mary and Martha and Mary. I kind of like I felt like someone was kind of like pointing at me, and I was looking around. Is it just me? I was like, and. But so I stay with that. I was keep praying for it, and then I noticed that when Pastor Jaron came here and started preaching and also praying, I felt that it was like a powerful spirit was guiding him, and I was amazed, and I was like, huh, I know. I was like, okay, now I know your secret, Pastor. I was like, wow. I mean, that was amazing. So I went home and I stayed with all this in my mind. I had some snack and I went to my room and I was reading the Bible, but I was kind of like feeling something. So I went to pray. I was praying for a couple hours, and then I text my brother. I text him, do you have available, like, can you cut my hair now? And he was like, yeah, I can. Okay, so he started cutting my hair. And then I was telling him about all this experience that I had, and I said, well, I want to have that power. I wanna have it. And he said, well, what you have to do is just believe. And I was like, well, I've been doing it for so long, and I don't feel it. And he just kept saying, believe, believe. And I started crying. And I started crying loudly. I went to the floor and cried. And I was, my hands were shaking. And he was praying over me, praying over me. And after that, I had like a tremendous peace in my heart. It's beautiful. And I want to say thank you to all of you. You've been part of this journey that I'm being. God bless all of you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And I'm not sure when it was, but I remember you came up front for prayer here for the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when that was? Yeah, okay. Well, you did earlier, several months ago. And so the point is, you know, this is how we teach. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, we come up and we pray and we just say, this is what God's Word says. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you receive. And so we just sit with that. And, you know, sometimes nothing profound happens up at the altar. And sometimes that bothers us, but most of the time we just go, well, that's not how it is. That doesn't always work that way. And in my life, I've experienced most people will come to an altar time and time again to receive the Holy Spirit. When it actually happens, has nothing to do with church. People in the car. Pastor Bob was in a pizza shop. I was out in the woods. I knew one person who woke up in the middle of the night, straight out of a deep sleep, speaking in tongues. I knew someone who got filled in the shower. Roberto was getting his hair cut. So if any of you need a haircut, call Florencio. Because there might be something more to it there. But here's my point. We know God did something. When we asked, God answers. But there was a period before there was a manifestation. And when this happened, actually, I think Florencio called me that night, and he's like, I just got to tell you what happened, brother. And I loved it. And then Pastor Bob called me later, because he had called Pastor Bob too, and Pastor Bob was like, you got to hear what just happened. And I loved it because this was it last Sunday or two Sundays ago? I can't remember. But it was just like throughout the day, I kept getting these calls and these texts about things God was doing. And I was just like, this is how we're supposed to live all the time, church. It's just we're constantly hearing about what God is doing, and he's doing this in one and doing that in another. And there should be no end to it. And I remember talking to Pastor after that, and I said, we just got to start living here. Living in that place where it's just a day of miracles. Every day something new's happened. We just wake up and go, what's God going to do today? So I got to get back to my notes somehow. Oh, this is a good one. The next thing that that stood out to me is that the way the angel ends his first kind of, his explanation here to Mary is he says, well, let's look where that is. Well, let's read it, starting in verse 35. And the angel said, answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And then I love that the angel does this, and he goes, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. I love that even the angel, just like Florencio had to call me up and tell me, I love that the angel's like, oh, I got to tell you something else, Mary. I know this is about you, but something else cool is going on right now. I just got to tell you about it. Someone you know, your relative, your cousin, we don't know exactly, auntie, we don't know, just a relative, your relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And I know she was trying for her whole life, and she's getting up there in age, which usually that stops happening after that. And he says, but it doesn't matter, because with God, nothing is impossible. See, Elizabeth's pregnancy was a miracle also. You know, Jesus also said the same kind of a thing. Nothing is impossible with God several times in his ministry. He said it in different ways. Apparently, this is just how they talk in heaven. Yeah, God can do it. There ain't nothing impossible with God. Maybe we should start talking like that too. What do you think? Instead of talking about our problems and talking about how impossible it seems and talking about how difficult it is and how everything went wrong, what if we started saying, you know, with God it's possible? Next thing that really impressed me here is how Mary's response to it all. After all is said and done, she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This comes up again when she goes and sees Elizabeth. But this is the proper response of every Christian to the word of God. "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You know, the message from the angel, in that message, there was a promise. You're going to have a son. There was also a command. It wasn't a big one, but you'll call his name Jesus. But whether you encounter a promise or a command, you say, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." If it's a promise, you believe it. If it's a command, you obey it. Whatever it is, you just say, "Sounds good." But then this is where, for me, the story gets really fun. I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. Angels appearing and stuff is pretty darn cool. But then it says Mary goes with haste to see her cousin or relative Elizabeth. Why does she go with haste? Because the angel set it up. Angel's like, "Oh, do you know about Elizabeth, Mary?" "No. What's going on with Elizabeth?" "She's pregnant too." So, you know, as soon as he leaves, Mary's like, "Okay, I probably should tell Joseph first what's going on. But then I'm out of here. I got to go talk to Elizabeth. I got to go see what's going on with her and hear the story." And so it says she goes with haste and she comes into the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it says she greets Elizabeth. Nothing fancy about it. Just say, "Hey, Elizabeth, it's Mary." And the moment she greets her, Scripture tells us that six-month-old baby in Elizabeth's womb does a somersault, which you ladies know something about that, right? When your baby likes to do somersaults and, oh, that gets you. But then it says, baby leapt for joy and then she was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. It doesn't say the word prophesy, but it's pretty obvious because it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and she exclaimed with a loud cry. She was shouting. Something just happened to her beyond what she fully understood, although she seemed to understand it pretty well, but she starts shouting and here's what she says, "Blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby leaped in my womb. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." She was probably louder than I was. But I just get this image of Elizabeth just doing her stuff, kneading dough, or I don't know what she was doing, sweeping the floor, or you know, whatever a housewife would do back in those days. Maybe sitting there with her afternoon coffee. We don't know. She's just doing her stuff, not expecting Mary. They didn't have text messaging back then, so Mary just comes in the door, says, "Hey, Elizabeth." Not expecting anything, and it's like Elizabeth turns on her heel, full of the power of God, and begins to shout at Mary. I bet Mary was like, "Whoa, I haven't seen this side of Elizabeth before." But one thing I love is that three of the things Elizabeth says are just blessings on Mary. You know, that's largely what prophecy is. What is it? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those are blessings. So she just said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then at the end, she says, blessed is she who believed. You know, an important point here is that it wasn't Mary, but the Christ in Mary that had such a profound effect. Something in Elizabeth recognized the Christ in Mary. You got to understand, it's also not you, but the Christ in you that's going to have an effect. Because of that, fear makes no sense. Because it's not about you, it's about him. Pride also doesn't make any sense. Because it's not about you, it's about him. One of my favorite things that Elizabeth says here is she says, why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as I got thinking about that, I thought, was Elizabeth the first person to call Jesus Lord? I mean, who knows how many weeks old he was at that point in the womb? Mary probably wasn't even showing yet. But she says, like she's in the spirit, prophetically saying, I am so honored to have the mother of my Lord in my house. You know, got to bring it in for a landing here, but I think the story of Mary and Elizabeth here, Mary's greeting of Elizabeth and how she responds, represents the Christian life to a degree, as it should be among all of us. The Holy Spirit in us ought to resonate with the Holy Spirit in other believers, causing an explosion of Holy Ghost power whenever we get together. I'm pretty sure that's what the Bible says. I think we prayed it this morning, right? One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000. Where two of you agree as touching anything, it will be done. There's power in unity and agreement. Elizabeth's baby recognized the Christ in Mary and leapt for joy. Do you do the same when you recognize the Christ in another person? I remember when I was a baby Christian and I found out someone like I knew from high school was a Christian, I would get so excited to the point where at times I felt embarrassed because I realized nobody else had the same excitement I did. I'd just be like, you're a Christian, that's amazing. And they'd be like, yeah, it's pretty cool. And I'm like, okay, you know. But for me, it was all so brand new. And I was like, this is the best kept secret in the world, so to speak. It wasn't a secret, but this was just the best thing that ever happened to me. And oh, you're one too? That's amazing. We're friends. You don't even know me, but we're friends. But shouldn't we be that way?
Sure.
You know, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and proclaimed these three blessings on Mary. I want to ask you, how often do you bless your brothers and sisters in the Spirit? Shouldn't we be doing that, like, all the time? One passage says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. You and I have the power with our words to actually give grace to our brothers and sisters so that they're stronger after having been in our presence than they were before. And everyone in this room who knows Jesus has that power. And it's with your words. So watch out what you're saying. Instead, let's bless, right? Let's bless each other in the name of the Lord. Ask yourself, who have I encouraged today? And if the answer is no one, get to work. How many of you got an encouragement at just the right moment in your life? You felt like there was no hope. You didn't know how you were going to make it. And someone just says, you know, I just love you. You're such a blessing to me. Something simple, and it changes your whole day. Be that for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The experience of Mary and Elizabeth, of course, was awesome. But it should be the common experience of all of us, I believe. That when we get together, there's just an explosion of Holy Ghost power. That when we get together, we're just blessing each other in the name of the Lord. I didn't even read it, but right after this, you know what happens? Mary prophesies. So Elizabeth, Mary says, hey, Elizabeth. Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit and starts prophesying. Then Mary gets filled with the Spirit and starts prophesying. This sounds like a good day to me. I don't know about you. But, like, why aren't we expecting that? If I have the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit and you come over to my house, why wouldn't we be prophesying? Why wouldn't the Word of God be flying out of our mouths? Why wouldn't we be encouraging and blessing one another? Why wouldn't we be laying hands on each other and seeing miracles happen right in front of our eyes? You know, Lauren and I made a commitment a while ago that we didn't ever want to have Christians in our house, or anybody really, but especially Christians, and not pray with them before they leave. And we really try to just make that, like, it doesn't mean something profound has to happen, but we just go, if we both know the Lord, why wouldn't we bring the Lord right into the middle of this? And I want to encourage you, when you're hanging out with Christian friends or family, bring Jesus right into the middle of it. Talk to Him. Because talking with one another is wonderful. I love that. But man, when you can talk to God and He can talk back, let's do that. Let's invite Him in. So I just want to encourage you guys. The story, the birth story of Jesus, and this is even before the birth, this is just the conception and early pregnancy of Mary, is so filled with the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned at the beginning, the Holy Spirit is really the main character of this story. Mary and Elizabeth are players in God's will and the outworking of His plan of redemption, and they're important players for sure, but really it's just God doing all God stuff. And we need to understand that you and I, we're just players in God's will being worked out in this world. And He's going to do His thing over here. I mean, He's doing His thing in Elizabeth while He's doing His thing in Mary, while He's doing His thing in Anna, the prophetess in the temple, while He's doing his thing. I mean, everywhere you see how He's just working in 100 different places, 1,000,000 different places, 1,000,000,000 different places, all at once. And He's bringing it all together to weave this beautiful tapestry. That's why I encourage you, I urge you, don't lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in your brothers and sisters. This isn't about performance. It isn't about trying to look cool or have the right words, or anything like that. Sometimes we get all tripped up in this. This is about you just living for Jesus the way you're supposed to. Period. Encourage one another. Be encouraged by one another. Trust that God's going to use you in people's lives, and let Him use you. Amen? Let's stand up. We're going to pray. Father God, we are so grateful. We are so grateful to You, Father. God, I thank You that Your Holy Spirit lives in each one of us. I thank You for this awesome testimony with Roberto, how You filled him with Your Spirit while he was getting his hair cut. God, I thank You for every story I've ever heard, and every story each one of us in here has ever heard, of people being filled with Your Spirit as they trusted You to fulfill Your promise. God, and I want to say to each person here, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be encouraged in the name of Jesus. I want to say to each person here, In Christ, there is no lack. In Christ, every need is met. In Christ, nothing is impossible. If any of you in here don't know Jesus, today's a really great day to get to know him. You're here in the house of the Lord, surrounded by people who love him, who have given their lives to him. And with everyone's eyes just closed still, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if this is the first time you're praying this prayer, I want you to come up and talk to me afterwards because I'd love to meet you. But it's time to turn your life over to Jesus. It's time to come home, guys. Your Father's calling you. No reason to stay on the margins. No reason to stay on the edges. Just come right home. He loves you. He's going to throw a party for you. He's just happy to see you. So I want to urge you, come home. So can we just all pray this prayer together? Father God, I repent. I ask you to forgive me. And I believe that you have in Jesus' name. I give my life into your hands. I trust you. I thank you for being good, for being kind, for being merciful, and accepting me as your child. I love you, and I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.